Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in Brooklyn, New York, crashing on the couch of the writer and comedian Julia De Cesare. In this episode, we talk about getting into stand-up, recreating the entire Hunger Games movie shot for shot in one weekend, which we did together recently. We talk about entering the somewhat miserable dating scene in New York City, as well as a bunch of other stuff that you'll hear very soon. I think that's all I have to say, though. One more. Well, good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
This is the earliest I've been awake since 2017.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It is currently, what, like 9 a.m.?
Yeah. Who's ever recorded a podcast at 9 in the morning?
Probably, like, people with better podcasts than me.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, is a roommate home?
Oh, a roommate is already making... We already have a guest appearance.
No.
Wait, they can't get the key open?
Hey!
Welcome back.
Are you okay walking on camera? This is my roommate.
Hey. So who are your roommates?
So that's Izzy.
Izzy. Hi, and Izzy. Nice to meet
Izzy
you.
Izzy just went to the gym and... My roommate in here is Anya.
How'd you meet them?
We all went to college together.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I didn't know Izzy when we were in college together.
Okay.
We were just like, what is it? Ships passing in the night. You know?
In the night?
Yeah. In the night. And then...
Was that your first time ever like using an old saying?
Yeah. It was very deep in my memory somewhere. I was going to try to sound smart.
You did.
Good. Okay. And then my roommate, Anya, we met writing sketch comedy together in college.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So you went to college at Syracuse?
Yeah.
Which is in New York.
Yeah.
You grew up in Connecticut.
Yes.
So is that like too far? Upstate New York?
It's not far. It's like 4 hours, like a 4-hour drive, which I felt was like an appropriate distance.
Yeah, that's
I really
nice.
Needed to get out. And I was like, that's far enough and like still close enough. You know, all those things.
That's nice. That's nice. So how did you get into comedy at Syracuse? Because you were going to school for film?
So
is that right?
I got a degree in film and television.
So you wanted to be... What, like a barista? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't really want to have like job opportunities, but I was going to study PR.
Okay.
And my plan was to do PR for like investment firms.
Oh.
I have a finance minor.
Do they have to make apologies very often?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I want to do like crisis management for... like money people. I don't know what was wrong with me.
Sorry. You found the worst job.
It is like truly maybe one of the worst, like morally the worst, just like all in all terrible. But that was like gonna be my plan. And then I was honestly, I thought this boy was cute in one of my Zoom classes and I like messaged him on Zoom. And he had, like, a poster for The Office, which, like, who has a poster for The Office? But anyway.
Him? Like, wait, what was the poster, though?
It was like a Threat Level Midnight poster.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tasteful.
It
wasn't, like, Bears Beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it was self-aware, maybe. And I was, like, I said something to him, like, I like your poster. And he was, like, you need to listen to this podcast about The Office. And then I had literally never listened to a podcast in my life before. I was, like, 18 years old, 19 years old. I was like, never listen to a podcast. And and he.
Sorry, he sounds dreamy.
No, it ended
you
up
need
not
to
being
listen to this
one.
Podcast about The Office.
He was like, please listen to this podcast about The Office. So I was like, okay. So I listened to it, hoping like it would create some connection between us. And it was all the writers talking about writing it. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's a job I could have.
Yeah.
And then I declared my major and nothing happened with the boy, but it was like, the podcast was truly like the main reason I changed majors. I was like,
wait, that's crazy. This is like my sister, like she like watched Grey's Anatomy and now she's like a physician's assistant.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people though who feel that we're obsessed with Grey's Anatomy. We're like, I'm gonna be a doctor. Like
it is concerning.
Yeah.
They're like They're like making out with their coworkers in the storage closet.
They have all
Isn't
the,
that
yeah.
what Grey's Anatomy is about?
I think so. I don't know. I've only watched it in like snippets.
Yeah, same. And I feel like every time there's like some kind of like lustful romance happening in the hospital.
I think and in the closet somewhere.
Yeah.
Like also, I don't know if you watch, I watch mostly like upbeat like comedy stuff, mm-hmm. but like I understand it's very good TV, but like a hospital show is so low energy.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, we have another roommate coming out. Hey. Do you Hello. Not want to be on camera? Are you okay? Okay, okay, okay.
We're Good just morning.
This is Anya.
Good morning, and Anya.
Yes.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Grey's Anatomy. But yeah, it's just low energy. I can't do a hospital
It's
show.
Also very blue.
Yes! what is with that?
The whole show is like, what if Scrubs was a show?
It's
Wait,
so
that
blue.
Is a show called Scrubs.
Is a show. Scrubs is another show. It's another doctor show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My mom used to watch General Hospital.
Why are there so many? And now there's a sitcom version.
What's that?
St. Dennis.
What was the one that the... the St. Dennis. I saw a clip of that the other day. And I was like, that looks really funny. And then I didn't watch it. So
yeah.
So it's probably...
Network TV.
Yeah.
It's on the up, maybe. I don't know. They're trying.
It's a few clips are on the up
There's
on my
clips.
For You page.
They're clipping.
They're certainly clipping. What was the show that the TikTokers made in the hospital?
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
Do you know it? Like, Dixie D'Amelio was, like, a doctor.
No. No, this is a side of the internet I don't think... I think I, like... I'm not nearly as, like, internet knowledgeable as you. Because I think...
Thank you.
No, you. I feel like you know everything,
and I
like. I don't know. I don't know.
I do think that I feel myself growing out of it.
You do.
Unfortunately, actually, it's gonna make me cry. To
no,
say.
That's
no.
Okay.
I'm not gonna cry. Like I didn't get good sleep last night. Like
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's this stupid podcast that I keep trying to do and trying to make work. And someone just needs to tell him it's not going to work. Go sleep in your bed.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Go get some sleep. But
go back to what you're saying.
I'm not on apps very much anymore.
And yeah, you're saying your screen time's down.
My screen time is so down. I'm not scrolling through TikTok very much. Instagram Reels is a hellscape for me because I just, like, I've never trained the algorithm. Because, like, when Instagram Reels came out, it was, like, kind of a joke.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought that we all still thought that. But now people are, like, sending me Reels and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You are under the age of 25 and you're behaving this way.
Yeah.
I'm noticing it.
And
too. I was like, when were we supposed to curate our algorithm? I never did that. And now every single video of mine is like in my Instagram reel is like satisfying video next to Young Sheldon clip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the classic. Which or is, it'll be like super hyper cut Hannah Montana episode.
Great. And that's on your algorithm.
Okay, it'll be like Miley Cyrus did this. No way.
Yeah.
And then it's like Her with a boy.
We should go back and watch that show.
Yeah.
But I get what you mean. And I also, the funny thing is, in the past week, I was thinking, I think my Instagram Reels algorithm has learned.
And, really?
Yeah. Somehow. And is better than my TikTok one. Well, I'll tell you this.
That's a scary thought.
I know. But I feel like my TikTok algorithm wants to, like, keep me on the app and is like wants to exploit me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my Instagram one, I feel like tends to be more about like stuff I like.
Sorry, you have parasocial relationships with algorithms.
TikTok is just so exploitive of me. But Instagram understands me
Instagram
so much better.
Instagram holds my hand and
Instagram
says, watch
is
this.
Like,
if
you'll
you want.
Actually like this. And it's things I care about. No, but it is something I noticed, which I think is, but I agree with you where like I think it's very difficult to be people on the internet whose jobs are the internet while also wanting your screen time to be low.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think then you feel like you're saying, if you feel like you're growing out of it, like I feel out of the loop mm-hmm. constantly,
mm-hmm.
like all the time.
I feel unk.
Unk? Yeah, I don't know that.
Oh, no.
Oh, unk.
Yeah, unk, like.
I don't know how to use it.
Like, it's okay. And see, that makes you unk, as
okay,
they would say.
Okay.
And they're no longer saying that. So we are learning this one just a little bit too late.
Okay.
But I don't know
what's not being used anymore.
I don't know what else they're doing. I saw some Instagram reel that was like a teacher being like, I made this and all of my students said that the answer was 67. And then like everyone was like, I don't get it. And someone was like, there's a new meme about 67.
Oh no.
And I was like, what do you mean they're not making new memes? They haven't told me yet. They're not doing it. So stop saying that there's new memes there's not.
Yeah.
So that's really scary.
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about the same thing in the sense where I was like, I write scripts and I was thinking like, oh, it'd be fun to write like a high school comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking like, I don't know internet culture and high school culture at this moment in time well enough to accurately write high schoolers. Like if I wrote high schoolers, they'd be like Gen Z. It's like someone writing. Yeah, it's like an old person writing a high school show. I think I could do it better than a 40-year-old, but like, I don't know what's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't. Which is scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I was at a coffee shop the other day and they were selling like a bunch of like little gifts and stuff. And I was like, oh no, this is for like Gen Z millennial cusp. Cause like usually you go into like stores like that where they have all like the trendy like cards and keychains and stickers. And it's all like stuff about like avocados and Hogwarts houses or stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like millennial stuff. But now we're getting to like wallets that say like sweet treat fund.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's for us. Oh. It was like, no.
Yeah.
They've merchandised all of our sayings and our words.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
The EP epidemic.
Yeah.
Stuff like that we gotta get rid of before they start catching on.
I think about that all the time when we're like 28, how like out of it will be, or will we find a way to like stay not annoying? And do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think that our generation has ever found a way to not be annoying. Okay, wait, I was gonna ask you how we were talking about you getting into film or in college.
Podcast.
Yes.
Declared major.
How did that happen?
I applied for like a sketch group that my roommate Anya was already in and started doing that. But I had like no comedy writing experience at the time. But I'm like a pretty competitive person. So it was a cool process though, because there's like fully like a room of writers, and we're all in college, but like a room of really funny, talented people, and you'd go with pitches, and that was like where I learned how to pitch and like bring jokes that like to see if make try to make the room laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get really good. So I started studying like sketch then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was doing that for a couple years, and I started doing stand up my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was doing stand up and sketch, became the head writer of that room for that sketch show.
Wow.
Which was really fun. I loved that. Cause then I was like in charge of a room of like 15 writers, which was so fun.
Yeah.
And then I was like posting stand-up clips online
mm-hmm.
before I should have been. Like, I wasn't very good at the time, but I just like stand-up was fully life-changing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it shed so much anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started posting stand-up and doing stand-up in the city, and then American High was like, hey, do you want to come work for us?
Wow. So yeah. American High, for viewers that don't know,
yes,
is like a sketch comedy group owned by a media company?
Essentially. It's owned by, I would call them like a production company. Okay. So they mostly make movies. They made Summer of 69 out on Hulu now.
Uh-huh.
I'm in there.
Uh-huh.
But it's quick, so keep your eyes peeled. Film production company, writer's strike. They couldn't make any movies. They wanted to dip their toe in like internet sketch comedy. We were doing that and it ended up being like pretty successful. And we did that I worked there full-time for like a little over a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really fun. And mm-hmm. I did that through my senior year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
They found you through like stand-up clips?
So Ryan recommended me, because him and I met in school. We like went to school together. I auditioned, got it, and they hired me over the summer.
What was the audition like?
I came in for a shooting weekend, and basically I was just trying to like improv as much as I could and like make other people's sketches as funny as I could. Mm-hmm. But I had like no acting experience at that time. So I was so nervous, like be on camera, and like being on camera when you don't feel comfortable on camera is so hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like really nervous. But it was honestly, it was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we made so many sketches.
I feel like it seems like a great group of people. I mean,
the best.
I got to meet them basically. At Grace's birthday, Grace Ryder, friend of the podcast, enemy in real life.
Yeah.
We, for her 24th birthday, she invited us all to an Airbnb in the middle of the woods to recreate the Hunger Games shot for shot.
Yes.
Which
with the whole American High gang was there. And we had extra friends there and it was insane.
It was incredible.
It was so fun.
The only person that I knew showing up to there was Grace.
That's honestly so brave of you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have been able to do that.
Yeah.
I would have been giving myself a pep talk in the car. I don't know if you were there mentally, but like I was like, but you were also saying last night you feel like you thrive in like an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. I've gotten really good at just like being comfortable in the discomfort because it's like it's so not cool. It's not uncomfortable unless I feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm the one who holds the discomfort. Like, if, like, the example that I was using last night was like, when I was at Grace's, I went to like rehearsal for their like comedy show, and there were like six comics just kind of like, there's just one guy kind of sitting backstage or like in the audience while we like rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I don't feel uncomfortable, like, if I feel uncomfortable, these people are gonna be like, why is that guy here and why is he like uncomfortable?
Yeah.
You know, and then they're going to feel uncomfortable. But if I'm just like, hey, hi, I'm Koi and I'm supposed to be here and you don't have to know why and I'm comfortable with that, then suddenly they're like, oh, okay, that's just how that is and how he is. And it's like, it's not their problem to deal with. They don't have to feel like they need to try to make, because that's where people become uncomfortable is when they feel like they need to make you feel comfortable. But it's like, if I'm feeling like,
if I feel fine,
secure in myself, just like doing nothing and being there,
totally,
then like,
well, it's
can.
Like, it's the difference of like, because it's like, if you're in a conversation with someone and there's someone who clearly feels uncomfortable in said conversation, or like they don't have something to add, the discomfort spreads to everyone else. But it's like, I love a person who will just so happily say nothing and just like be there and like is so secure in their presence there that like no one questions it. It's like, that's so powerful.
I need to find more people who talk less.
Yeah. I think everyone needs to talk less. And I think I think truly
we're really getting somewhere on this podcast where we're talking.
Well, I feel like, well, it's the thing of like being more inward with yourself too, of like being comfortable just like just being quiet and like just observing. But also that was the realization I feel like I made maybe in like high school, because I used to be like really easily embarrassed, as like every high schooler is, but like at some point it clicked that it's like, oh, if you decide something's not embarrassing, it stops being embarrassing, because it's an internal feeling. If something embarrassing happens to me and I decide to laugh instead of like, you know, turn bright red and like hate myself, it doesn't matter anymore. It stops mattering.
Yes, absolutely. You get to kind of own that.
You get to control it, which is so great. I feel like stand-up's been helpful with that too.
It's
like you have to just like bomb and then like be like, okay,
that's okay. You're talking about stand-up like shedding a lot of your anxiety. Do you think that that's kind of where that came from?
Yes, but also, I mean, it was really helpful in that way of like having to learn that like, oh, no one laughed for 5 minutes, I'm still alive and like it's fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like before I ever did stand up, my big issue in my life was I felt very like uncomfortable in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And like I went to great lengths to like get people to like me and like really just wanted validation that I was okay and like who I was, you know what I mean? And I did stand up. And I felt just like so, for like 5 minutes, it was like just me, just Julia, talking to all these people who were listening for no reason. And I was making them laugh by myself with words I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt so gratifying of like, oh, that was just me.
Yeah.
Fully.
and it worked. So it felt like this, like, so freeing in that sense. And then I became literally addicted to it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do this for a long time. This is really crazy.
What do you think, like, got you into it?
I've been always been, like, a huge consumer of comedy. So, like, in like...
So probably, like, The Office podcast?
Yeah, The Office podcast. Like, I loved sitcoms. And also, I've been a huge, like, SNL fan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Before I did stand-up, I was, like, waiting in the line to go to SNL for, like, 7-12 hours. Like, I would do that. And then I started thinking about stand-up. But you know what really is motivating? This is helpful, I feel like, if anyone wants to do stand-up. Watch some bad stand-up. Like, watching bad stand-up makes you think, like, oh, I can do this. Like, I can – because – so I did stand-up for the first time at, like, a student-run venue. Before I decided I wanted to, like, put my name in the ring and be like, I want to do this, I went to a show as just a viewer – and a lot of the people were quite bad, but people were laughing. And so my competitive mind was like, oh, if this guy can make everyone laugh with that stupid joke, like, I will work on a set for 2 weeks and it will be so good. And I did that and it went really well. I was also really lucky because I feel like a lot of people do stand up for the first time at a mic where it's like hell and there's like 4 35-year-old men there and they're not gonna laugh. I did stand up for the first time to like 60 drunk teenagers,
right,
who like were happy to be there. So I had a great time, which kind of like got the ball rolling forever.
Oh,
that's okay.
I keep thinking about how you during the Hunger Games so you played Rue.
You
you and Grace both got poison ivy.
Yeah. Well, I think Grace
like
got it.
Beautiful shot of like you laying on the ground, tears coming down your face. And it's like, you said you sent it to your mom.
I sent the photo to my mom to be like, look how beautiful this shot is. And she was like, there's poison ivy like a few inches away from your face. Like, oh. But Grace, I think, got it from the tree scene when she's in the tree.
Because
Tommy was, it was really funny. Tommy was pointing at the tree going, there's poison ivy on the tree. There's poison ivy. And Grace's hand just went straight for it and like grabbed it. And he just kept it. He was like, Grace, there's poison ivy. And, it, and then, yeah, it's all over her body now.
It was crazy filming an entire movie in a weekend.
Well, it made me think like we could shoot a like another movie. If we had a week. Dude, if we had a week.
If we had a week.
We could make a really great movie.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with us because a lot, I feel like a lot of people's attitude was like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And we did it.
Yeah.
And we did, not without working hard. I feel like we all worked.
Yes.
Like, we worked.
We worked very hard, but also it was like, it was a lot, the work was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
It
all
was
of
like,
it was fun.
A lot of it was just like, okay, this is what's supposed to happen in this scene, so let's like kind of do what they do, but also like improv it and then be like, ooh, we kind of like that joke or like we don't like that one or like, you know, just
it was a really
it.
Nice mix of movie accurate and really funny changes and like which I'm always so impressed, like funny people are so amazing to me. They're like my favorite people to be around.
Thank
like,
you.
Yeah. Like everyone there was so good at like coming up with stuff on the spot. I'm just like always so impressed by that.
I was really, really impressed by everyone's ability to be a part of the group.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you get 15 funny people in a room together, it's like, all right, who can be the loudest?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, who is gonna like try to like take control and make it all about them? Because like that's what we all do for a living is take control and make it all about us.
No, you're totally right.
And it's like when I was in high school and I was doing like improv, it was a lot of like, and I'm sorry for saying that.
It's okay. It's fine.
Thank you for understanding. But when it was a lot of like, it was a lot of like, you know, doing like improv scenes with like other schools that like of people you didn't know. And there were always people who like thought they were the funniest people
and
in
had
the world.
To be the loudest.
And they had to be the only person. Yeah.
Well, that's sorry, but you keep going.
No, you're good.
I was going to say like, if there's someone who's actually really, really funny, let's say they are very naturally comedically gifted. If they can learn to shut up and use it when is appropriate, they become such a more powerful performer. Do you know what I mean? Where like to be able to like just stop talking and use it when the best when it's the best time.
Yeah.
And I think that takes so long for some people to learn. But like you can know you're really, really funny and just not say something all the time.
Yeah.
But we got really lucky with American High and like that whole group of people. That always amazed me that we got a group of that, like a five or six really funny people. And no one had like a crazy ego. Mm-hmm. No one was a huge like, I mean, we all like attention, but we all like kind of like it equally. So it kind of all balanced out.
I wonder if it had to do with the fact that it was like something, you guys were doing something that hadn't been done before. That like no Maybe. One felt like they were walking up to something that they were like, oh, this is my thing.
Yeah.
It's like you guys were making like high school sketch comedy.
Yeah.
It's like that you kind of were all out of your element in
Completely.
A way.
Completely.
You know?
And when we started also, it was very much like, we don't know if this is going to work. Like when we were originally hired, we were hired for a guaranteed 2 months. And they were like, mm-hmm. we're going to see if this works. And if it doesn't work, you don't have a job anymore in 2 months.
Cool.
And we were like, got it. Okay. Noted. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, none of us thought it would go past 2 months. We were like, what are the odds this works? I think it was because of that. Like we were all a team, like working on something together. It made us all very close. I think that also helped with like, the Grace's weekend of like it being very friendly and supportive. Also, it being for Grace's birthday is huge because it's right. like we were all there ultimately for our friend, which yeah. I think helps so much. But I agree. We're like, dude, if you tried to do that with a group of comedians any larger and they don't know each other as well, I think it could go very wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it could be entertaining, but Absolutely. I think there would be personalities where I'd like want to throw myself against a wall.
Yeah. I was surprised by how sane I felt by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I felt like really, of course I was tired, but yeah. like, it felt so good to be around all those people for that length of time. Like I loved everybody there. It was so fun.
Every once in a while you get some kind of like project or opportunity that kind of like puts you right in the middle of everything that you want to be doing.
Yeah.
And that was one of those for me.
Improv and collaboration, like, yeah. but also kind of scripted, and also it's a movie.
And also kind of
Hunger
just like
Games
hanging out. But kind of professional, but kind of not.
Well, what's funny is like Grace always thought of it as like, this will just be a fun thing. But that's everything Grace does, where she's just like motivated by fun, which I yeah. think is like why she's so successful. But like, yeah. Truly, I think there's a really good movie there. Like,
yeah.
like unironically.
Yes.
I think it's going to be like a really good movie.
I'm so excited to watch. I hope we get to have a premiere.
Oh, there has to be a premiere.
How Grace makes her content purely motivated by fun.
Yeah.
Is like so, so inspiring and so motivating to me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm very inspired by her.
And when I'm like around, she's like, oh, would it be funny if, and she's kind of like, making up video ideas on the spot
yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
okay I'm recording saying this thing or doing that, and it just feels like you're like recording like a video on Snapchat for your friend. Like it doesn't feel like work for her. It just
yeah.
feels like she's like, oh, that would be really funny, or like I just want to try this
that's
thing.
Always
like,
how she's operated. It's
yeah,
very cool. It's very cool to see.
When we were, you took me to a coffee shop this morning and they were like, you know, like the tip jar wars that are happening where mm-hmm. it's like Harry Potter versus Lord of the Rings. Give money to one of them. And I was talking about how conceptual these tip jars have gotten. It was in the coffee shop, it was rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
Like time or space.
Yeah.
Consciousness or reality.
Empty or full.
Empty.
They're running out of ideas. Honestly, most of the time I'm tapping anyway. I don't
right.
have dollar bills on me a lot. They're trying to get creative. They're trying to tap into something.
Yeah.
It's a very millennial heavy neighborhood we're in.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that feeling?
It's interesting. I definitely listen to people's conversations a lot and they're exactly what you'd think they would be like.
Mm.
Not a hater of millennials. It's just interesting to me.
Wait, what are the kinds of conversations you're hearing?
It's like, especially at that bookstore, we went to a coffee shop that's also a bookstore, and it feels like an I'm smarter and more woke than you competition.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care for that too much, but I'll listen. It's
well,
entertaining.
That brings me to my next segment.
Yeah.
Are you smarter and more woke than me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that like I'm done being woke this year.
Yeah.
I've decided that 2025
going based and mask.
Okay.
Are kind of the two things.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah. So I don't really know. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing to be mask other than like wear different shoes.
Okay.
And like walk a little. Like, I don't think that like straight men like really bend their knees when mm-hmm. they walk. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like, they walk like, funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very stiff.
Yeah.
They're not connected to their bodies.
So I kind of, yeah.
They're very separated yeah, mentally.
Yeah, so I'm trying to really disconnect from myself entirely and kind of, I guess, put that wall between, that wall of masculinity between
yeah.
my consciousness and my existence.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's smart.
Those are my two tips. That's what I'm working on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Consciousness or existence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Based in mask.
Based in mask.
No, I think I could be more woke. I think I need to read the news more.
I'm like every other guy
yeah.
as far as wokeness goes, but not this year.
Not this year. We're done being woke.
We're done. 2025, we're full circle back around.
Yeah.
We're back. We're
joining the alpha mask community. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're coming back around.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. This is where we're meant to be. That's why it feels so homey.
Yeah. Don't tell Marge.
Yeah.
Simpsons yeah. joke. Feels so homey.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes. 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 So
there's a character in The Simpsons.
Marge.
Named Homer.
Oh, okay. And
uh-huh. Sometimes oh, his yes. Hot, sometimes his wife, Marge, will call him homey.
Cute.
And so, yeah, you saying nice and homey. It's like it feels homey. It's like feels homey. Marge
feels
would
kind of
be like,
yeah, try me.
Well, thank you everyone for watching the last episode of Couch Surfing. Okay, so you moved to New York City in February?
January.
Well, what made you want to move here?
I always wanted to move here, like forever. Like, I'm from Connecticut, so I would take the train in for whatever reason growing up. And
that's so cool.
So cool. And when I was a preteen, very cool.
Sorry. Preteen. I'm dead.
Like when we were in middle school,
yeah.
The very cool birthday thing to do would be to, like, get all your girlfriends and your mom and their moms and go to the city and, like, go to Soho and go shopping.
Fun.
That was, like, the very cool girl birthday thing.
Soho.
So,
wow. Yeah.
Everyone okay. would go to Soho and never take the subway.
Yeah.
You never step foot on the subway. Right. You'd either walk for an hour or you'd get, like, an Uber or something. So I had seen the city. I'd been in the city for whatever reason. And then... yeah, I just really like it here. Mm-hmm. I feel like I get people on the East Coast. Yeah. I'm an East Coast person. I also like how everyone focuses on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has it been treating you?
Do
you
really think? Well. Yeah. I love it here. Like, I truly, I feel kind of bad because maybe it'll come later, but everyone is always like, that first year, you're so depressed. And I'm like, I'm having a good time. Like, I'm happy. I'm, like, I really like it here. I also am lucky where I, like, have a lot of friends who live here. So I don't feel super isolated or anything or, like, I have to make a bunch of friends. I am making friends, but, like, kind of as a byproduct of my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you graduate college?
Last May, like a year ago.
Okay. Okay. So you lived in Connecticut for a while or
yeah,
Syracuse,
so I stayed in Syracuse working for American High through the summer into September.
Okay.
So I graduated, stayed in Syracuse.
Okay.
With my coworkers, with Grace and Ryan and Aiden, blah, blah, blah. And then September left, went to Europe by mm-hmm. myself, which is kind of like my like ultimate like discomfort being alone thing that I feel like pushed me like crazy. But I was alone for 3 weeks there. Which I think helped a lot with moving here.
Also, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Just like if you can hear things outside, we're playing an hour long.
New York sounds.
Yeah.
City
we're,
sounds.
We're going, it goes through every single sound that a car could possibly make.
Yeah.
In the entire hour. Sorry. Keep
no,
going.
No, that's okay. You're,
yeah.
So then I went to Europe for like a month-ish and then I came home, lived in Connecticut and then moved here.
Wow.
It was very cool. I feel like you, have you done solo traveling other than, or like. You're solo traveling around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
oh,
yes.
I've
You've
done
a lot
solo.
Of solo
traveling. Oh, I've done
well,
solo
that's
traveling.
That's like what this, like, okay. My solo trip was like so uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
and I hated it
mm-hmm.
so much. But it's like,
to Europe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But after the fact, I know it like forced so much personal growth, mm-hmm. like so much because I hated it.
Yes.
You know, it was like, it was miserable. And now I'm like, oh, but I'm like a changed person.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like so awful.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Well, a lot of times like solo traveling will be like really, really bad when like my relationship with myself isn't great.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm spending all this time with this person I don't like. And I'm like, it's like when you're like with your siblings on like vacation, you have to like learn to like them or else Florida is going to be miserable. You
well,
know,
that was my experience because so before I went, I was very much like, I love myself. I have a great relationship with myself. Let's go to Europe by myself, whatever. Go to Europe by myself. And the whole time hated being alone. Mm. 2.5 weeks in, I was like, why do I hate being alone so much here? And I had to like really look inward of like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. You know what I realized? I thought, or at least when I was there, was like, without having other people around me to confirm that I was like cool and funny and interesting, I felt like a complete lack of like personality because mm-hmm. I was like, there's no one to prove to anybody that mm-hmm. I'm like interesting. It's just me. And I felt really uncomfortable not having someone there to validate how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And then by that realization led to me being like, oh, I think I might be a little bit of a narcissist.
Yeah.
And like, I need people to tell me I'm great all the time and like mm-hmm. all this stuff. And that was really crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think like a lot of times it's like, oh, I do feel really great about myself, but it's like, a lot of times I'm not feeling great about myself. I'm feeling great about the like external validation that I'm receiving about
yeah.
myself. And then
yeah.
I misinterpret everyone's opinions about me as me.
Yeah.
When like really that's just like, those are just a bunch of different like mirrors. That's
I
not like
totally agree.
Me looking at myself.
That's
those
why
are
I feel like solitude is so important.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can't really like.
And that's the card game you play by yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's why you should play solitude like once a day. And I think with like your yoga practice, which I don't know if you talk about on your pod, but like.
I do way too much.
Okay, gotcha.
They're tired of it, yeah.
No, they're not. Your yoga practice, like stuff like that, it's like you can't be leaning into other people's opinion of you while you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because also I get addicted to reading my comments. I don't know if you are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get, because like I post like pretty personal videos and then all the comments are like this outpouring of support and I'm like, wow, I am so great.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, all these people think I'm all these amazing things. I must be. That's so cool. And then I have to like walk away and be like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
That I'm like identifying so much with what these people are saying about me. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think that like, I mean, obviously it's like you have to like build that self-discipline to like not care about those or like the build some kind of like detachment from it. But also it's like, I don't think that it's just like a content creator thing at all anymore. I mean, like,
no.
I think
oh,
that, like,
yeah, you're right.
Everyone has their own stage. Everyone has places where people are saying things about them. Everyone can constantly be getting opinions on, like, it's like, you ever see someone, like, get added to someone's close friend story, and you're like, you post a lot on here and never on your public story.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you just constantly, like, need to, like it's so human and so natural
yeah.
to be like, you just want people to keep knowing you exist and to
yeah.
get validation on your opinions. And I know it all too well
because yeah,
that's like my job. But it's crazy to see like real people be like, I want people to see this, but I don't want everyone to see this, but I want like
to be curated.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like,
I want you to think this way about me based on this post and this post. I want it to come off like whimsical and whatever. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I mean,
it's like no one can have a bad time at an airport without posting about it. It's
that,
like, or it like it didn't happen.
Well, do you ever catch yourself doing this? Where like, obviously I post all the time, but like I will catch myself posting something and I feel in my bones like I'm posting this solely for attention right now because I feel deprived of attention at the
mm-hmm.
moment. And like it'll be like for example, like a bad airport experience or like something like that. And I will delete it right before I post, which sometimes I don't delete and I post. But sometimes when I realize the only reason I'm posting is because I want to like remind people I'm alive, I'm like, okay, let's maybe hold off.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's stop. We don't have to post that.
It's weird how the internet has gotten that way.
It's weird, but it's
like,
also like we were raised that way, where it's like we've been it's like really bums me out to think about.
Yeah.
Or it's like, because also like adults who don't realize that like how exploitive like the technology we're using is, mm-hmm. think it's like our fault and we're so addicted and we're so phone crazy. It's like, no, we've been like preyed on since we were 14
yeah.
to like want to perform for the internet and want to build an audience and want to be famous. It's like, also think about our, like the television. Like I always think about like the TV shows we were all watching. You're like, Hannah Montana, Victorious, like
iCarly.
iCarly, all these things about getting famous.
It's like
all of them.
Being seen in like a digital sense is like how we feel like we exist. Like yes. It is like.
Yes. And then when someone's like, I'm not online, you're like, you're a crazy person. It's like, how do you do that?
It's like, oh, okay, so you're not participating yeah. in being alive? Yeah. Oh, cool.
How do you feel alive?
Oh, cool. When was the last time you posted on Instagram? Oh, so you are basically John Doe.
Yeah.
Like, you don't exist.
But it like really drives me insane. Dude, have you seen The Holdovers?
Mm-mm.
It's like this, I don't remember. I think it takes place in the 70s. It's this really beautiful movie. And it starts and they're in this boarding school, this boys boarding school. And all these teenage boys. And none of them are on their phones because it's the 70s. Mm-hmm. I literally started crying. I straight up started crying. And my dad was like, what is wrong? And I was like, it's all these boys in high school and they don't have phones. So they're just like talking to each other and it's beautiful. And it truly, I feel like we missed out on like socializing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
Yeah. I do love my phone though.
No. And I honestly, what I said, still being how I feel, I also don't think I'd prefer to live in a different time.
Yeah.
Because I think like it's always, everything's always going to even out, you know, like mm-hmm. sure. Maybe not having phones is great, but also my phone is responsible for my entire career.
Yes.
And like, well, it sounds like you're pretty aware of your phone habits, but like being with people who are not aware of their phone habits, or like if you're out to dinner and I've been like out like to bars and clubs and like my friend will literally be like on their phone the whole time. And I'm like, girl, I'm right here.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Like, let's hang.
Yeah.
And it makes me really sad because mm-hmm. you can't be like, hey, you're on your phone all the time. You kind of have to just like take it.
It also has been like become like so trite to be like, how to get less screen time, or like your phone is the thing causing your problems, that like saying anything to anyone about them being on their phone too much, it's like it almost feels like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
obviously.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even worth saying, because it's like, of course, like.
Yeah, everybody knows.
It's like, oh, you're going to be one of those people that has a problem with me being on my phone. It's like, it's not, yeah.
I but just like, feel like the difference in my head is the acknowledgement of it being an addiction or not.
Because
I think when someone will tell me they're not addicted, I'm like, I think you're wrong. I'm like, I think you're wrong and I think I'm right. And that frustrates me, because I think it is. I think it is an addiction.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. I mean, like, treating it like one can definitely help you, like, build better habits with it.
Think about if you can't find your – have you ever not been able to find your phone and you look like a crackhead?
Yeah.
Like, looking for it?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I've been there, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Like, why am I digging through couch cushions like a crazy person?
I've been, like, finding – a lot of times I'll, like, put my – phone like in my backpack, or like it, like I'll just like put it away so it's not like on my body. I'm trying to get better at it feeling
like it's not with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
To not have a big rectangle attached to me somewhere that I can like, so that when I feel for it, it's like I'm trying to get rid of that sense of panic, and it's like it's working a little bit, because I'm tired of my phone feeling like a body part of mine.
I completely agree. Like, it's like, if I'm going to the grocery store across the street to get like fruit, I don't need to bring it.
Mm-mm.
I could just bring my wallet and my keys. Like making that connection and actually trying to do it is like, it is so weird when it's been attached to you for literally mm-hmm. a decade. Mm-hmm. Like for a decade, it's just been on you.
I've had this idea to like eliminate my screen time, and I'm not sure if it would work, but you like, I want to get my phone and like set it up like 50 yards away from me, and then like take a gun and shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a gun you could use?
No, but I think I'll get a phone gun.
Okay, phone gun.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a good invention.
Yeah.
Kill your screen time with this phone gun.
It's like one of those like Instagram reels that's like, or like one of those like ads that plays before a YouTube video that's like, I switched from bed rotting to shooting my phone with a gun.
Yeah,
and here's how it changed my life.
I would watch that. Well, I bought a product for phone addiction.
Is it the break thing?
Yeah. I haven't used it. Okay. This is why.
So that's the one where like you have to have a physical brick in order to like open up your phone.
So it's a physical, it's like a physical thing. I don't really know how it works tech wise, but you tap your phone against it.
Uh-huh.
And when you tap it, it like removes all the like social media apps from your phone. So the idea is if you're going out, like let's say you're going out with your friends and you want to bring your phone, but you don't want to be on social media, you can just tap it. It removes your social media. You go out. You can't re-access it while you're out. You can only access it when you come back and you re-tap.
Wow.
So it like really removes the option. And the reason I have not done it is because I'm afraid that since it's my job, I'm like, what if I tap and I get logged out and then I can't log back in and like there's a thing, like something goes wrong.
Yeah.
That would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
It'd be a true nightmare. So I'm too afraid to actually use it.
What if this brick because like you're like, I can't get back into my like you one day you're like, I can't get back into my social media, like it's all logged me out, like I put it on this brick, and then like someone's like, well, Julia, like, what do you mean? You just posted on TikTok. I just got a notification. And you're like, what do you mean?
That'd be the scariest thing in the world.
And then you open it up and it's the brick. And
the
it's
brick.
Like,
it's taken over.
I'm going to be taking over Julia.
It's an animated brick. Yeah, no, that's their plan, is to take over everyone's socials one at a time.
That's genius.
I think it's a good idea though, but maybe not for a content creator. I think it's like scary.
Yeah, I don't know how to balance my screen time. I've just been on like a little, not really like a detox, but I'm just posting on my Instagram story less, really.
Yeah.
And that's a dopamine detox for me.
I get that.
But also they ruined create mode. Instagram create mode, you know, like you know, like the text on the background. Yeah. Well, did you see that they like changed the shade of pink?
No. I didn't see.
Really? Okay, I have to show you this.
No, please show me.
I did just need to pop in here and clarify that Instagram has heard my cries and shouts over the past few months after they have taken away my voice on their create mode Instagram story feature. And they've changed it back. I just didn't want to be spreading any misinformation on this podcast. And also, I wanted to find a perfect opportunity to interrupt the episode so that I could tell you that a new solo episode on my Patreon just dropped. I'm releasing solo episodes every other week on my Patreon, as well as a bunch of other bonus content that you should totally check out. It's how I keep the show going. It's only $5 a month. Patreon.com/KoiPiso. Thank you so much for your support. And back to the show. I was supposed to go on a date. And I showed up to this date late because, well, I'll just show you the, first of all, this was the original.
Oh, yes.
That was the original pink.
I'm familiar.
Now, Instagram create mode looks like this.
Okay.
Which is just a completely different vibe.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is giving,
the
like,
white on the left. I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels more like it's trying to be, like, aesthetic. Like, this feels like before, it felt like an aunt who like doesn't know how to post on Facebook. Like that's the vibe that Instagram created.
Yeah.
Now
and
this
we
is
like
giving
that.
Yeah. Now this is giving like music festivals Instagram account reminding everyone to bring water.
You know,
like
sunscreen.
Yes, sunscreen.
Hey guys. Yeah. It's too cool. It's trying to be cool.
Yeah. And I hate it because this was how I used Instagram and they completely threw off my mojo and it seriously broke my heart and freaked me out when this happened. I was supposed to go on this date and I was like,
did you cancel the date?
No. I was like 10 minutes late and I was like, sorry, work emergency. Cause I like had to post like 6 times on my Instagram story being like,
hate this.
This is about me.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
changed
yeah.
this and
it's a personal attack on my part.
Yeah. And it's ruining my life.
Was that a different date or the same date?
That was a different date.
Okay.
I did go on a first date yesterday. Yeah, I got love bombed, but it was in a self-aware way. Like He was saying things and he was like, oh my gosh, I need to stop talking. Like, is this what love bombing is? And I was like, you should probably stop talking. This is what love bombing is.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'm just listening.
I told you that. Yeah, you were just like saying stuff being like, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in the
you're
entire
like
world. I'm so sorry. I just said that. Like, am
no,
I like,
no,
are you uncomfortable? And I was like, no. I'm just listening. Cause like I was.
No, I am though. I'm just listening.
That's all I'm doing. And that's all I'm going to
I'm
continue
just
to
taking
do.
This in.
I'm just really taking this in and figuring out where it's not going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
How have you found the dating scene in New York?
Oh my God. So I've been very selective recently.
Okay.
And I like try to stay off Hinge because I've done my time and it really depresses me.
Done my time.
I have done my time, and like also just like the quality of man that's like available on Hinge, I'm like really not loving, and it makes me upset.
What do you mean?
Like, it just makes me so upset. I don't know. And also they hide all the hot people, which is so frustrating.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta pay.
So frustrating.
It's pay to win on Hinge.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. Honestly, I feel like I'm too, and I talked about this in like my last video diary tiny bit, but like we were talking about having a relationship with yourself, and I feel like it's much harder to give attention to that relationship when you have a partner.
Yes.
Because I feel like that self-relationship almost goes out the window when you have a partner, because all the energy is now redirected to another person. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really curious, like, how far my relationship with myself can go. Like, how close can I get with myself without a partner?
Yeah.
And go in that direction for as long as I can until I meet, like, the right person.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like, well, then I'll be, like, such a better version of who I am. But
which
I do
make that a lot easier.
Exactly.
When you get into,
exactly. But then also, of course, I like affection and I like, you know, hooking up and those things. So it's a hard balance, because sometimes I'll be, like, on a really good groove of, like, oh, I love who I am. I love what I'm doing. I love my work. I'm taking care of myself. And then all of a sudden it's like, I want a boyfriend. Like, I want a boyfriend so bad.
Yeah.
And that's so annoying.
I do that too. Yeah, I do that too. I feel like it's so easy, especially like when you're like having low self-worth, or like getting your, or you like think that you feel great about yourself, you're actually feeling great about the way that everyone else is making you feel.
Yeah.
It's like really easy to get a partner when you're at like the lowest low, because then it's like, oh, look, a person that I can just like completely fade into.
Yeah, you know, like, which I've done so many times.
Yes. And I feel like I've just gotten, knock on wood, out of that cycle.
Same.
Yeah,
I've done it so many times.
Yeah.
And when one would end, I would go straight into another one. Mm-hmm. Immediately into another one. But I also feel like
that's the problem with being straight, is like you can just go on a walk.
Yeah. Well, that was like in college. It was truly like one relationship would end and I'd be like, well, whoever the next guy is, I guess it's going to be like my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like whoever it turns out to be. But the other thing is like, I also would love to date someone who values like their relationship with themselves the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard to find. And I think especially in like a straight man, it's like, like finding a straight man who's like self-aware enough to like have a relationship with themselves without ego being like a huge part of it. I think especially like a straight man my age, like a 23-year-old guy, like so many of them just haven't grown up yet. And so I'm like, I don't want to date like a 29-year-old.
Yeah.
I also don't want to wait 5 years to date someone.
Yeah.
So it's
that's like in their own person.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of just like, it's just a waiting game for someone who feels like emotionally mature and like they like themselves. I'm so over anyone who like expresses to me that it's like quirky to like hate themselves. I'm like, I don't find it quirky. I think like I don't find it cute. I'm like, I really, if you tell me you hate yourself, like I'm done. Like, I don't want to be around that.
That's so, it's so like 2012.
I know.
Well.
It's like, oh my God.
It's like, I'm a freaking dumpster fire. My life is literally
guys
a mess.
Are saying that on dates. And I'm like, do you think that's attractive?
I'm an ugly potato. Yeah. You probably think I'm so ugly too. Derp.
Yeah, like I went on a date with someone and he was like, I'm just a freak. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I need to go. I actually need to go right now.
You're like, actually, I wasn't really thinking that, but now that you say it,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you are kind of what you say about yourself.
Yeah.
You kind of do become the things that you think about yourself.
Yeah.
That's kind of how being works.
Yeah. And it would just be nice to meet someone who has like not like, because I've also met the other end where it's like, I'm a god.
Yeah.
And that's not good either.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Ugh. I've had that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's more fun than the alternative.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like a little bit addicting because you're like, am I dating a god? like this guy is so like confident for no reason. It's so cool. And especially when my self-esteem was really low, dating someone who had really high self-esteem was like really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this person just loves themselves so much, mm-hmm. but it's at the detriment of everyone around them.
Yeah.
Like, they're not caring about the people around them, which mm-hmm. is, like, the healthy medium, I think.
Do you think that that's true self-love, or do you think that that's, like, insecurity that's, like, masked in...
It's insecurity, okay. for sure. And I realized that when I was out of it, where I was like, oh, that, like, huge ego they have is an attempt to overcompensate for all the things they hate about themselves. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it's just, like, they're too... scared to just like be a person.
I keep having this thing where like guys will tell me just like their biggest red flags on accident. Like I had a guy be like, yeah, I don't really know, like for like lesbians don't really like me, I don't know why. And I was like, what?
Say that again. I was like,
I'm going to call the cops.
That's really I was like, funny.
You don't tell a gay man that you're on a date with that lesbians don't like you.
Why don't lesbians like you?
They will mobilize and be here in 40 minutes. Like, you better run home.
Yeah.
I have hundreds of lesbians at my disposal.
Yeah, people and, need to put a lid on it.
Or even the guy like yesterday, the date that I went on, he was like, I've never been like a girl gay. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like, well, I am. Cause I, you know, had two sisters. And he's like, I don't know. Like girls don't really like get along with me. And I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Girls don't get, why are these just gay as a men whole? Having like, trouble getting along with women?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the part about being a gay man that's so good is getting along with women.
Yeah.
You know, like, does not make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly, I think that I understand why lesbians. Is it misogyny?
Like.
I think it's that. I also think that when I think about the gay man that was saying that lesbians don't like him.
Uh-huh.
He was. He was a finance bro,
mm-hmm.
President of his frat in college, business frat.
Yeah.
But also, and like you know, buff, masculine, you know, yeah. kind of what I'm going for this
uh-huh,
year.
Uh-huh.
But he, I think that that's like the opposite of what a lesbian is
yeah.
most of the time. And so I could see those kind of like butting heads. And also like both lesbians and that guy are gay, but one has a lot easier of a life than the other.
Yeah.
And so like I could see that just like it's so hard for those two to probably see it eye to eye when
I
it's
could
like
totally see that being
a bro like that wants to be like, yeah, we're in community, but he doesn't know how to act with any kind of nuance or like
yeah.
awareness of like what being like it's such a different experience for the both of them. So for them to see yeah. eye to eye, I'm like, I
that makes total sense. I yeah. feel like that's probably where it comes from.
Yeah.
But yeah, he should have the self-awareness to know that.
I told him, I was like, that is, by the way, the biggest red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last date I went on, this wasn't like a red flag, but it was really funny. He like told me I have a lisp. And so he didn't say lisp. He was like, I like your voice. And I was like, oh, thank you. What about it? And he was like, your S's are soft. And then I went around asking people after that. I was like, are my S's soft? And they're like, yeah, you have a bit of a lisp. I was like, what?
Wait, really?
I don't know. It's like new to me.
I think you have a distinct way of speaking, but I wouldn't call it a lisp.
But do you think my S's soft?
I guess so.
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. What? I just thought it was so funny because it was like, I'm just on this date. And then I'm like, am I being told I have a speech impediment?
Wow.
I'm fine with it. It's fine. I've been told that's not the first guy who's made a comment about my voice. Like, I don't know. I don't think my voice is particularly interesting, but I think I say words weird, apparently. At least to other people, they sound
weird. I think you have an interesting voice. Okay. Yeah.
That's so funny to me because I don't hear it.
Yeah.
I do not hear it at all.
Well, you spent your whole life with it.
I spent my whole life with it. Well, my sister, when I was little, would make fun of me because I couldn't say R's. Mm. And so I became very aware of my R's, and I think I fixed that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, all that to say, I'm not really dating. I'm not really out there.
Yeah.
I like to think that the guy I want to be with is, like, way too busy to date me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, like, working.
Yeah.
And we'll run into each other at some film or content event somewhere and be like, hey, and meet
yeah.
there.
Hopefully. Oh, how romantic to like meet at VidCon.
That's kind of what I'm envisioning in my fantasy. To meet at VidCon, yeah.
Yeah, you grow old going to the Webbies every year together.
Yeah, walk the very short red carpet together. Take one the singular rug. Picture, yeah.
It's just like one of those like carpet samples from like Home
Depot. Yeah, I don't think they paid for a whole carpet.
What kind of goals do you have right now? What kind of goals? What are you excited about?
Oh, good question. I really want to invest as much time and energy as I can into my scripted content and mm-hmm. like write and produce 5 to 10 minute like short films. But also what I really want to do, which I think might be a little ambitious, but like I think it'd be really cool, is set as like a challenge publicly on YouTube mm-hmm. that I'm going to write like 5 TV pilots this year mm-hmm. and produce like 5 to 10 minutes of each as like a sizzle or like a proof of concept. Because what I really want to do is make TV. Mm-hmm. And I think if I just, like, am screaming into the void, like, I am writing scripts all the time. Mm-hmm. I am make like, I think at some point something's got to give. And so those are, like, my goals is to, like, write and produce those things as much as possible and for it to pick up some sort of momentum and some direction.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that, like, I like that your goal is centered around the thing that you want to do, but trying that thing over and over again.
Oh yeah,
you know, like getting your reps in. I think that that's like, it's like the, I think that this is, someone told me this on an episode of Couch Surfing, but it's like the guy who if like 100 days from now, like it was like two people were making like clay pots, and it's like whoever makes the best one 100 days from now, do you know this?
Yeah, whoever metaphor, like one group is told, I don't know if this is the same thing, but one group is told make the very best thing you can, the others make as many as you can.
Yeah, and they're both supposed to make the best, and then one guy like spends all 100 days on one thing versus like the guy who like makes a new pot every day and his pots end up
quantity
being
is really important.
Yeah,
I think there's a very healthy medium where it's like if you're only focused on quality and perfectionism, it can stop you from creating, and mm-hmm. I don't think that's productive. Mm-hmm. But also if you're only focused on quantity and you don't care about quality, you're also not going to see the same amount of progress. But I think if you can like crank out good stuff that you believe in as much as possible. Like, when you're saying get your reps in, that's genuinely, like, my only goal is to do this so that I can get better. Because mm-hmm. What I would love is, like, I'm not the most experienced writer. I'm not the most experienced producer, actress, anything. I don't have that much experience in general compared to, like, you know, someone older than me. Mm-hmm. But, like, by the time a production company reaches out to me and is like, we want to work with you, I want to have all the skills so I'm not caught off guard by anything and they can trust me. And the only way to do that, I feel like, is to just make stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And for, like, my teams to keep getting bigger and knowing all the – running into problems and solving – it's a discomfort thing again.
Yeah.
Like, running into production problems and having to solve them makes me more confident for the next shoot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the pressure for quality will just lead to, like, perfectionism and – yeah, like you said, you'll just kind of be stuck wanting quality, but like quantity will just like eventually lead to quality, even if you don't pay attention to it. I have a playlist for this podcast where every guest gets to add one song.
I get to add a song?
Yeah. So oh my God, any song that's on your mind or your favorite song or...
You don't care about like what it is?
Nope, not at all.
Okay. Maybe I'll add a weird song.
Okay.
I'm going to add a song that like I will listen to when I'm like journaling or like reading.
Okay.
And it's called Moss 2.
And my song?
Oh, I haven't been speaking into my mic. There's my mic.
Oh, okay. Do you want to say the song again?
Oh, it's called Moss 2.
Awesome. Mine is Elastic Girl by Kahimi Carey.
Yay.
Awesome. Well, Julia, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
This has been so much fun.
Oh, you didn't tell me. Was the couch really bad?
It's not the worst.
Okay. It's not the worst.
It was not great.
Okay. Was there a reason why it wasn't great? I'd love to know.
I think that...
Was it these?
Yeah.
Did you take these off?
I think if I took these off, it would have been better. Okay. But like...
It's very narrow.
It's very narrow. It's like if I curled up at all, I was falling off.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I'm just becoming a stronger couch surfer.
Yeah.
The hardships build character.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What time is it? Do I have like have to go right now?
You have like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go. Bye-bye.
Bye.